Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Tomorrow and Thursday, there are day baseball games, and then I'm in Colorado next week, but the guys will all be here holding down the fort, doing the show, and I will see you guys 1 week from Monday. I want to start the show talking about the standing ovation that the St. Louis fans gave to Paul Skeens last night, but I want to do it in reference to a conversation I had with a friend of mine who is a big baseball fan and was saying, I know I'm in the minority on this, but I don't like it. I feel like St. Louis is constantly trying to validate itself and just, you know, falling all over itself like someone trying to keep a girlfriend who wants to break up with you. And look at the restaurants we have and look at this and the Cardinals and, you know, that kind of stuff. And what would Bob Gibson think of it? He hated everyone who ever hit a home run off of him, this kind of thing. I remember I was in the crowd when Ken Griffey Jr. hit his 500th and got a standing ovation and it made me tear up. And last night I was watching the game and when that happened with Skeens, it made me misty again because I'm a softy, and I love that St. Louis is great baseball fans, and I love that we do that. We appreciate the game, but I thought my friend had a point that maybe we get a little cringy with our we're not that bad, we're more than just the murder capital. Wheels, I ask you your thoughts.
I've been kind of going back and forth with a few people on that basic line on Twitter, and I think it's a bit much to try to read the minds of 35,000 people. We don't have a hive mind. It's not like everybody there was like, let's show everybody how cool St. Louis is. There were a lot of people there that just had a good time. This guy was fun to watch, and they were like, thank you. Now, maybe there are some tryhards out there that are like, let's show everybody how awesome St. Louis is. Let's do it. I don't think that's the majority, and it's definitely not like there's a plan to do that, right? I don't know. Why is it difficult for a certain segment of people to just say there are a lot of people there that had a good time and they wanted to let the guy know, hey, that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the middle of a good game, too. It was nothing. Miles Michaelis was awesome. Took a no-hitter into the sixth inning. Only gave up one hit in seven innings. I mean, it was a good, entertaining game in a season where you probably haven't had as much fun as you want.
What about the overall point, forget about last night, that maybe we defend ourselves too much? Maybe we should just stop defending ourselves so much and just be us.
I do think, I think we should be defensive to an extent because there are better things going on here that we could be talking about, and we end up talking about the garbage all the time, which feeds into the narrative, I think, about how bad St. Louis is, which makes it worse. So we're kind of fulfilling our own prophecy in a way. But also, let me talk about that last night. I don't know that if he were a guy who was like had a no-hitter, right? And he completed the no-hitter, maybe you give him an ovation. But for a young guy who had just pitched really well, who people don't really know that well yet, except we've heard he's a really good prospect and he's probably going to be good. And we know who his girlfriend is because she's famous. Other than that, it seems weird. It seems a little weird to give an ovation to an opposing pitcher who just pitched really well.
I would say outside of the game last night, because I do see that different than, you know, trying to put on a show to show that St. Louisans are cool. Separate that whole thing last night from the being defensive. Here's what it is. We can put ourselves down, but others can't. I can say St. Louis stinks.
A lot of cities do that.
If you say St. Louis stinks, then I'm like, hey, wait a minute, you can't say that. So I think that's what it is. We can do it, but you can't.
I mean, there's also a reason why if you look at, you know, the season-long attendance, that was one of the better Tuesdays, one of the better weekdays they've had. I mean, people bought tickets because they wanted to see this guy. And yeah, I mean, look, it's unusual, but he's unusual. He's not your normal, just run-of-the-mill, brand-new rookie. This guy has been known. He's the number one overall pick. You know, he's blown through the minor leagues. Everybody's excited about seeing something special, and they saw somebody that they think is special.
Did we do that for Maddux or Randy Johnson? Well, like, I mean, if it happened and I just don't remember it, then okay.
Neither of them were as anticipated as major leaguers as Paul Skeens was. First of all,
no,
nobody
but once they're
followed
established,
prospects.
Well, like, once you're established, when Greg Maddux is Greg Maddux, and he comes to this ballpark to pitch. I mean, I remember buying tickets to go see him specifically because I knew he was pitching because he's the best in the game at the moment. I don't recall anybody giving him a standing ovation.
Though. I don't know. I mean, I've seen plenty of, Ron. But I'm not sure
we would do that for a journeyman. I'm not sure we'd do it for Paul Skenes in 5 years.
I've literally seen hundreds of occasions where a guy got an ovation for making a diving play in the outfield that was
amazing.
That's
a little different.
But, I mean, it's the same idea. You're looking at a great play and saying, wow, that was great.
But in this case, you're looking
at a great talent saying, wow, that was great. That was entertaining.
When a guy shoves into the seventh inning against you, I've never seen a Cardinals that I can remember. Maybe it's happened and I've forgotten. But I've never seen the home team cheer for the other pitcher coming out of the game after absolutely shoving for half the game. I've seen guys
rob triples with diving plays in the gap.
That's play. Like, I think there's something different about play than a guy dominating you for the entire time he's been in the game.
With this, I think it's because he was a kid. Because he is a kid. I think as people went to see the phenom, the young kid, in 5 years, I don't think they give him a standing ovation. I think some of it is, oh, hey, this kid lived up to
the
hype.
Did we do it for Kershaw? I know the playoff thing, and he wasn't good against him in the playoffs, but when he
did not arrive in his fifth or sixth start with the hype that Skenes has.
I think it's a different world. The hype, and
it's
kind of
like the Caitlin Clark thing to me, is that the people are becoming big stars before you ever get to see them. They're known, they're famous, they're people are writing stories about them, you're seeing about them all the time, and then when they arrive, people are like, all right, let's go see this. Because Caitlin Clark's not the first great women's college basketball player. She is the first one in this era. Of everything is known. Everything's going to be on TikTok. Everything's going to be on Twitter. Everything's going to be discussed. Games are on TV more. Just like college baseball's on TV more. Nobody would have seen a college baseball game 30 years ago.
And NIL. Caitlin Clark can do commercials.
Well, yeah. I do think there's a little bit of a difference with the sports. Because baseball is not really a star-driven league like basketball is. Like the NBA is... It's this one guy. He's a star. I gotta go see LeBron play, or I gotta go see MJ in his prime, or I want to see Steph play. That's a little different than what baseball is, which I think
changing,
is
changing though.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, look at the way the game has changed, just in the way that it's performed, with more celebrations and more personality. It is becoming more that way. You're right though. Like historically, that is 100% the truth. That the game was never marketed around individuals, but that is more true now than it's ever been. People are pushing Soto and Judge, and those guys are getting more attention and showing more personality, in part because of this. This has been a legit, valid criticism of baseball for years, is that they didn't do this. That they didn't make their young stars into celebrities like the NBA, like the NFL. I mean, people have been buying tickets to go see Lionel Messi in MLS, and then he doesn't show up, and people are pissed because they're not going to be able to go to the game in Seattle to see their team. They're not mad that they won't see their team play. They're mad that Messi's not going to come. Now, I know he's an all-time legend, and this is a rookie. It's a different thing.
Different.
But the point is, stars matter, and that's my lesson from this. Stars really matter in sports, and it's finally starting to happen in baseball where they are stars – not just great players on another team in a different uniform.
Yeah, man, I don't know.
I mean, do we not want that? Do we not
want the stars?
That's what we want it to be, right?
What do you not like about it, Ron?
I don't think the game is there yet. I think they're doing
better.
No, but it's beginning stages. Beginning, so still not there. And where, because it is such a team sport, I can't, and all sports are team sports, fine. But I think in this case, it's strange to me that a guy that he's great right now and he's pitching really well, but who knows what he'll be in 2 years. Maybe he blows his arm out. Maybe this is just the beginning of something that will last for a couple of years and that's it. I think it's odd to give a standing ovation to somebody who didn't really do anything special except pitch well. It's not like he carried a no-hitter into the ninth and then gave up that final hit and then people cheered for the hit and then also cheered him for, hey, great performance, man. He pitched 6 1/3. It wasn't like he got to the ninth inning and was an out away from a perfect game.
He's out there blowing 102 for six innings. I mean, people, who does that?
You had a guy who threw 105.
Yeah, but they don't do it for six innings every pitch, for 95 pitches. I mean, I don't, I mean, are we just suggesting that it's, well, you know, we're sad sack Cardinals fans and we're just tryhards. Look at us. We're awesome. Is that the mentality? Because I don't think that's the mentality of 35,000 people.
Yeah. Well, maybe not everybody. I thought it was weird.
Yeah. Perfectly fine to me if you're going to recognize talent.
1021 DGS. I just found out that both of the ladies will be gone at the same time in September, which I hate to break it to you. One of you aren't going. The last time
trip.
This happened, Steve Moore called me to his office and he goes, okay, this is day three of the Bro Fest.
You guys, Steve's like, what are you guys doing in there? Just barking with my dogs?
I mean, is that not,
I'm with my dogs.
Is that not a universal truth?
Oh yeah!
Like when the dudes are not around, girlfriends, wives, sisters, you know, coworkers, whatever, it just devolves really fast.
Yeah, it's so much better.
I'm actually making the point that it's worse.
I walked by. They're renovating a house in my neighborhood, and I could hear the guys like inside, like yelling at each other and joking around. This was very early this morning, and I was like, I just can't imagine the conversations that are going to be had today.
Yeah.
I can.
That's the thing. Everybody wonders, especially like girls always wonder what boys talk about when it's just them.
I feel like I have a pretty good idea.
If anyone knows what ladies wonder about, it's Andrew.
It is the stupidest stuff that you can imagine.
It literally is. Well, you've seen all the memes, right? Like all the memes, like he's probably thinking about a woman and he's got like, you know, he got a Smurf in his thought bubble because he's like, I don't know, what were the Smurfs doing? Like, we are definitely that dumb. I am.
Yeah, I'm an outlier. I'm pretty ladylike. I'm always like, so if it's not a simulation theory, playing golf the other day, we're behind some, the broiest of bros. And I just dreaded every time we had to share the tee box with them because it was just, I don't know why you like boys. I don't understand it. Like, those guys are so non-interesting. But when you guys leave, I regress to the mean.
Well, it's less true, I think, if you stay as an individual, like if it's just you. But if you put four or five bros together, forget it.
I don't know.
It.
I'll be at home.
Ron, thoughts?
I love
true.
The bros.
Yeah. I'll be at home thinking, like, if a dog year is 7 years, would I only have to work an hour a day if I was a dog?
Andrew's one of my boys.
When you're with the guys that you normally hang out with, how fast does it just become like college?
Oh, my friends are pretty funny though.
Okay, well,
like they're fun. They're not like bro funny. They're just funny.
What about Marjorie Taylor Greig?
That guy. There's something wrong with him.
Marjorie Taylor Greig.
You hang out with
You don't know about Marjorie Taylor Greig?
No, I've never heard of this person.
Oh. Yeah.
I got a buddy who went off the deep end.
He
started listening to podcasts, and he is down every single rabbit hole you could think of. And he says the exact same stuff that you just, it's all predictable.
It's the best nickname.
So I've nicknamed him Marjorie Taylor Greig.
They fight on Twitter all the time, and I'm like, you guys are friends?
Yeah.
That's the best.
I love him, but I hate him.
Didn't you live with him?
Yeah, for a long time.
Man, you've had more roommates.
You lived with everyone you know except us.
Yeah.
You guys want to get a place together?
Yeah, let's go.
I don't mind.
Yeah, we're going to the Mark Scores compound.
Right. Yeah. It's too far, man.
Yeah, we'll do the show from there.
That's fine.
They can build us a studio.
Yeah, we don't even have to leave there.
All we have to do is not cuss.
It'd be like real world Mark Scores.
Might be a problem,
pretend you're
though.
On the air the whole time.
Not close enough to a Taco
Bell.
Amy,
ask your mom if it's okay.
Okay, I will.
Ask your dad.
From the emojis.
No, her dad will be cool with it.
I don't think so. He's been trying to get rid of us. But I think from the emojis she sent me yesterday, she's concerned at the least.
I like the idea of us all staying in the Mark Scores compound, and then at the end of every week, someone gets voted off the show. But it's Amy's parents that vote us off. Yeah. We don't vote each other off.
I like my chances.
Yeah, Dave, you're going to last.
Oh, I can suck up like nobody's
business. You and Rachel will be the last survivors.
We're all sucking up to Amy's parents all the time just because we don't want to get kicked off.
Yeah, we'll all be like saying nice things.
Want me to cut the grass? It looks great.
Yeah.
What's your fourth favorite thing about Jesus? Because I've got my top three.
I'm reading the Bible upside down with glasses on, like,
I really think we should get our own house together, the six of us.
That'd be so great.
How much room you got? You got enough room in your place?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right, don't take up a lot of room.
We should see, like, if somebody has, like, it would be great, though, if somebody has, like, an Airbnb and it's not booked for a week, and we just do that for a week as a bit. Like, in town. Just...
What about my 300-square-foot studio?
There you go.
Everybody bring a sleeping bag.
I
would offer, but you guys are like, that's too far away. We can't go all the way out there.
You've
got to cross a river.
Sorry. Two rivers.
One.
Oh.
Well, if you're coming from your mom's.
Yeah, I'll be coming from my mom's house. So it's two rivers. I can't make it.
We could bring in Ben Boyd, and the last person there wins a prize. Whoever can stay the longest with Ben.
Oh, it would be me.
All right. I'm out.
I would win.
I got some for you.
I would win. Ben and I are concert buddies. So we would. Yeah. I would win.
Who would win in a prank war between you and Ben?
It's a stalemate. It's been a stalemate for 20 years. It never ends.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, DGS and KMOX. Speaking of facing Paul Skeens, who throws 102 miles an hour and is virtually unhittable, when you're watching the players face him, you can feel what they're feeling, like, I'm not going to get a hit. And I wrote down, I have been facing Paul Skeens for a couple years now. You know what I mean? Like, there are times in your life you're like, I can't miss. Zippity doo-dah. Then there are times you're like, I'm not going to get a hit. Maybe I'll try to bunt.
Man, whether it's sports or real life, that's never a fun feeling.
No.
You're just like, it's just not going to happen today.
No.
But just not. There's a real comfort in accepting it. You're just like, eh. It's not going to, this is what it is.
I mean,
is
there's
today.
Definitely a gallows humor in it, too.
Yeah.
Like, even in, I'm guarantee you, in the dugout, they were like, well, hope he's done in the sixth inning, because then we got three innings to score.
Did, not that it's not fair or unfair either way, it is what it is, but, I mean, did Mikolas just kind of get ignored last night because Skeens was there?
I think to a degree, but I mean, you know, one hit in seven innings is pretty good, you know, and I mean,
man, how about when he hit Connor Joe in the head?
Which is super unusual for him. I mean, he's a pretty good control command guy. But yeah, that's some of the scariest stuff you'll see on a baseball field.
Is there like an unwritten rule that you don't apologize?
Mostly, but not really. There are times where guys will go up to the other guy and I'm like, man, I didn't mean to hit you there. Sorry about that, buddy. You doing okay? I mean, it's
seems
a little
like the
bit
right
of a,
thing to do.
It depends on the circumstance, though. Like, and the guy. Like, some guys are the, you know, the angrier dudes. They're not going to do it just because they want to maintain that. Like
persona.
I mean, I doubt Nolan Ryan apologized very much when he hit somebody or Bob Gibson, but it's not that unusual, especially when somebody gets hit in the head because nobody's trying to hit anybody in the head.
So you told me yesterday before the game, you're starting to get concerned with Arenado and Goldschmidt. And so I wanted to talk about that. And then you were quite upset last night that Ciani was our go-to in that situation.
So which one do you want to start with?
Start with Ciani.
All right. So this is a problem. When you are in the bottom of the ninth inning of a one-run game against one of the best closers in the National League and your best option to hit with the tying run on first base and two outs is Ciani. I mean, that's a problem. Like, that roster is not good enough if that's the option. They had Crawford and Carlson on the bench.
Let me stop you there because I remember a couple of years ago, my son Nick, who's way more into baseball than me, was talking about Dylan Carlson, and he's a problem. He's not good enough to keep, but he's too good to trade, and XYZ. And you made the point that if Dylan Carlson is not good enough to go to in that situation, that's a problem.
Yes. If you're not willing to put him in that spot, because look, he has not hit right-handers very well in the major leagues. Right. That's been his track record the last couple of years, especially, but really the last 2-3 years, Carlson has not hit right-handed pitching very well. And obviously Jared Bednar is a right-handed pitcher. Michael Ciani has never hit at any level in his life. He was a 240 minor league hitter. And if you look at his numbers now, his actual statistics, right, he's a 200 hitter, but that's actually based on good luck. If he was getting the breaks that he should, he'd be worse than that. So based on expected performance, so this is the quality of contact that he makes, he's in the bottom 1% in Major League Baseball. He cannot take that at bat. He can't. And if you can't put Dylan Carlson in that spot, then Dylan Carlson has no future with this team. Because even if he struggles against right-handers, he doesn't struggle that badly against right-handers. And he's also a guy that was a first-round draft pick who was a top 100 prospect at some point. And this tells me something at somewhere that they've given up on him, which is bad. And I know part of the problem is that Nuet Barre and Contreras are out. Your bench is two spots thinner because two guys that would be on the bench are now in the starting lineup. So in this case, it would be Burleson and Carpenter. They were bench guys at the beginning. Now they're more regular players. And Burleson's been great, by the way. If not for him in the lineup, they would have a lot more trouble scoring runs in the last 6 weeks. But that's a problem. Like, you can't tell me that you think that Ciani's a better option than Carlson, not only there, but in general.
And just bigger picture.
And Ciani's a great defender, I want to point this out.
He's really good at that.
Yeah,
that's, and the metrics show that, too. But in terms of depth, that's a real issue because we're, you know, right now, I think we're comfortable knowing they are within a half game of a playoff spot.
Yeah,
but then again, so is every team in the National League, but like two. So everybody's kind of right there, right? So you think, well, they still have an opportunity. They're close to a wild card spot. But depth is going to be an issue as the season goes on because it's fine now in the middle of June. But when you get to the middle of August, if it's still kind of like this, then you're going to be in a great deal of trouble. And if you're fortunate enough to get to the postseason, it's a problem then, too, because all the other teams you're going to have to deal with in the National League are the good ones. They're deep. All the good teams are deep.
Yeah.
And that to me, so it's nice right now, but I'm still thinking down the road, which you kind of have to if you're, you know, if you're being smart about this. I am worried about them as they get closer to the really, really hot days of the summer. And then if they're lucky enough for the postseason.
Yeah, the ideal would be, and again, this is, you know, we all know perfect plan doesn't always come into place. Their perfect plan would be Nuet Barre gets back, Contreras gets back, Edmund gets back at some point in the next month. And that's three players that are everyday players. Edmund probably should be more of a almost everyday player. But anyway, that's three regulars. And then three guys that are on the team now won't even be here, right? Pajes goes back to the minor leagues. Fermin probably goes back to the minor leagues. And then they make a call on whether it's Ciani or Carlson or Crawford that ends up going. So that's their perfect world. But we know that there's a good chance somebody else might get hurt. But that also brings us to this other point that I wanted to get to, which is your stars are killing you. And it's not early anymore for Goldschmidt and Arenado. It just isn't, okay? It's mid-June. And this team was constructed with the idea that those guys are going to hit. If those guys were hitting, the Ciani thing doesn't even come up. It's not even a conversation. The depth issue is not a conversation. If those guys are hitting even close to their career norms, even close to their career norms, this team is five games better in the standings right now, and they're probably a game out of first place. But this is becoming a real issue because there's no sign that it's changing. So Paul Goldschmidt still hits the ball pretty hard. Okay, like if you look at his average exit velo, he still hits the ball pretty hard. But his strikeout rate is the worst of his career. His walk rate is the worst of his career. His expected numbers based on the consistency of the quality of his contact is the worst of his career. And it's not, it gets better for a week and then it goes back. Arenado's even worse. His batted ball numbers are like in the bottom 25% of Major League Baseball. He doesn't hit the ball hard. His defense is below Major League average right now by every metric. He's negative defensive war on Baseball Reference. His fielding rating on Baseball Savant is in the bottom 25 or 30% in Major League Baseball. This team can't be good if those guys aren't good.
And here's the other part, Kevin. Nolan Gorman, who's been probably their most productive over the last month, his strikeout rate's really high right now. The reason that matters is if the strikeout rate is really high, there's a pretty good chance that the production you're seeing now is going to trail off.
Within the next
month or 2 months.
Yeah.
So while you have him producing for you.
And Burleson and Wynn.
There's reason to be concerned that it may not be there in August.
Yeah. No. He's going to be a streaky guy. I think that's Nolan's thing. He's been that way so far. And maybe as he gets, he's only 24 too, right? So maybe when he's 28, he's more consistent over the course of a year. Right now, He's a guy that, as a young power hitter, goes in streaks. He'll go for 5 weeks where he's awesome and a few weeks where he struggles.
Is there blame to be assigned, or is it just bad luck?
I don't know about luck, but I don't know that there's blame. I mean, like, Goldschmidt and Arenado are trying, right? They're not lazy. They're not slacking. There's nobody's calling them out. I'm not calling them out. I'm simply saying that when your two highest paid players that are expected to bat in the middle of your order aren't producing, you are not going to be the team you thought you were. It's impossible. Now, what I'm not sure about is the long term, right? Like next year and beyond. First of all, Goldschmidt's a free agent at the end of the year, so the only concern with Goldie is short term for the Cardinals. There's a little more worry long term with Nolan because he's under contract for a lot of money for a number of years. But I'm not even judging next year or beyond. I'm not even thinking about that. I'm talking about the 2024 team. And there's a phenomenon happening in baseball now. Like, there are a lot of good hitters all over baseball that just suck right now. Like, Randy Arozarena is at .160, right? Ronald Acuna was terrible before he hurt his knee. So there are a lot of other great players having terrible years, and offense is down across the board in baseball.
We'll talk a little bit about the long term for Arenado and Goldschmidt. What would you need to see them re-sign Goldschmidt? And
I wouldn't. I mean, as of now, I wouldn't, because of his age.
Yeah.
Right. I think I would be seeking younger
options.
Unless
it's a 1 year, hey, it's not going to cost all that much, then you might do it.
He would have to really be good, though.
Is Burleson a first baseman?
No, but he plays first, right? And you can also slide Gorman there. So if you wanted to go, or Brendan Donovan, like Gorman, Donovan, and Burleson can all play first base. And that makes room as you're looking forward for Newt Barr, for Jordan Walker when he comes back to the team. You ideally want Victor Scott to be a part of your outfield. So that can also be a part of clearing a logjam and creating a spot for someone else. And Tommy Edman will be back next year, for example, and he's under contract. He'll be playing somewhere. So you don't have to do that, but you do need to get that production from that group of players. And right now that's unproven.
Where does Arenado stand?
Contract-wise?
Yeah.
Oh, he's got at least 4 more years, I think. I mean, he signed, I want to say, let me double-check.
I thought it was 27?
It might be. I thought it was 28, but I'm going to look it up while we're talking. But either way, it is, you know, it's multiple years. So he is signed through 27. So you've got this year and 3 more. And the last year is only $15 million. That was the add-on the Cardinals gave him when they made the deal. And they're not paying all of this. The Rockies are paying $5 million a year for the next few years. But that still means the Cardinals are paying him $30 this year, $27 next year, and $22 the year after that. And if that's going to be this, that's a problem. Now, hopefully not, right? But this also looks like the end of last season. You know, August, September looked like this for Arenado, and it is carried over into this year. So is it physical? Because he had the back problem last year. Is there some lingering thing? And sometimes what happens when you have an injury like that is you alter how you're doing things while it hurts. And then it's sometimes hard to rebuild the habit to do it the way that you did before. This is how arm injuries happen for pitchers sometimes. Like, a pitcher will strain a hamstring and then he hurts his arm because his delivery changes to compensate for the other thing. So I'm hoping that's not it. I'm hoping it's just a bad start. But even if we're only focused on now, this team can't be what they thought they were going to be unless those two guys are something close to their career norms. They don't have to be perfect. They don't have to be MVP level. But right now, Arenado is below major league average offensively. Only a little bit, 2% below. But for his career, he's like 30% above average. Last year, even with last year not being the greatest of seasons, last year Nolan Arenado was only 8% above league average. The year before that, he was 50% above league average. Like, he's not normally this. If he could be something close to his normal self, then this team's going to go on a run. But, you know, the problem that you have right now is, I guess the good news is the league is everybody's the same, so you've got time. That's the best thing the Cardinals can say right now is they have time. They don't have to solve this stuff today, and they're waiting on Newt Barr, and they're waiting on Contreras, who sounds like he's getting pretty close to getting back. But, man, there's just not much you can do to adjust when your two highest paid stars are not good.
All right, so continuing with sports, a guy ran out on the field and did a backflip and got his ass tased. Are we in favor of tasing?
Why not? Reds, Guardians? Yeah. Anything that happens to you on a baseball field, football field, whatever, if you get hurt, you, whatever happens out there to you, that's what you have coming.
If you're a fan.
If you're a fan.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, if you run onto the field.
Right. You deserve it.
Players don't know what you're doing out there.
Nope.
I don't what the big deal is. Let the guy run.
Well, you're an idiot. That's why.
Yeah.
Because
there's a little bit.
I mean, hold on. Yeah. There have actually been examples, though, where those people have attacked players.
Yeah.
It has happened several times.
White Sox game.
Yes, two or three times.
Twice. Yeah. Twice.
Not to mention, if you're just like, it's fine, everyone would do it. I mean, I think that would be the main reason why you want to shut that down.
And it's way to go, Andrew.
And it's really fun to watch, and it makes everyone laugh at home.
Let them run around a little bit.
Monica Seles would
You know what? You know what's really cool? Let's encourage people to run from police that are telling you to stop. How's that going to work out? And by the way,
there's a difference between running from the cops and running from the stadium goofballs.
That's running from the cops.
If somebody comes in the front door here and starts running around our office screaming and yelling and being silly and doing backflips, how fast before Colin up front beats the crap out of him?
Colin might shoot him.
I told Colin to shoot Andrew.
He might.
I told him to shoot the guy that's stealing all the sodas from the fridge.
I'm sorry, but
see him.
Like I said, he might shoot Andrew. Yeah.
To me, I view this like if you decide to go run around on the highway in rush hour and you get hit by a car, you chose to do that.
Yeah.
You chose to go on the field. You know you're not supposed to. It is against the rules.
It's a bloodthirsty bunch.
Hey, how about the cop gets in a little better shape so he can catch the guy and doesn't have to tase him?
If you run,
the cop that's wearing cop shoes trying to run on grass is really going to work.
I love like clown shoes.
Slappity, slappity, slappity.
Well, he's got those big flippers on. How's he supposed to catch a criminal?
Yeah, sorry. You get what you came for.
Whatever happens to you, if it's a broken face, broken arm,
yep.
Bow and arrow.
Paralysis. Whatever happens to you, you had it coming. Sorry.
No, you guys are just bloodthirsty.
No.
You guys just want to see bad things.
No. Every time a guy runs onto an NFL field, like a football field, I wish one of the players in full pads would truck them.
Can I skip this and make a point real quick?
I'd prefer you didn't.
No.
I mean,
you're no fun.
Hurry up.
Make the point.
Make the point. I want to hear it.
Make the point and do the live.
I had a meeting with
Steve
today. We were talking about the show, and he was like, for example, it's like he's making the point that your show is stealthily entertaining. And he's like, yesterday, I'm listening to Andrew, the idiot, I think he said, making the case that a Chick-fil-A summer camp for kids is a violation of child labor laws. And then you came back and you started it again, and I was so mad, and I listened to the whole damn thing again twice.
He didn't have to say that.
Andrew,
you're
the idiot.
You want me to say it?
Give him some cop shoes.
In his cop shoes.